Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning, the 9 a.m. show that starts at 9:05.
That's 9:07 to be
Oh, it's
exact.
9:07 now? Oh, great. Well, I mean, technically the song started at 9:05.
You're right. You're right. You know, though, we're trying our best here. You have to understand, we're college students. I will say, Sam Ferris is the only one that's consistently like been here on time. Me and Will have been struggling this semester.
I got here at 8:57, and I was the first one here.
Which isn't really great. Also, shout out to Mike Evans. Restart this computer in the radio room, because I had to, and that, you know, that really that takes out of our showtime, Mike, and that hurts. As a friend, I didn't think you hated me that much. But all right, this is Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning with myself, Samuel P. Anthony. We have Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz
Hello.
and William Robert Camilleri. It's an exciting week for Will. He hasn't felt this feeling since 2004, when
I
he was a wee
was
lad.
7 years
He
old.
was 7 years old. Do you remember what it was like back when you were seven?
I mean, we had T.O., so that was pretty cool. I didn't know what was going to happen after the Super Bowl with T.O.
So it was cool, and then
It
it
was
became
really
not
cool.
cool anymore.
And then, like, we lost, and it was depressing. But, like, only as depressing as it can be for a 7-year-old. And then, like, I was a few years later, like, the whole Spygate thing came out, and it turns out that they, like, did all this systematic cheating to win 3 Super Bowls in a row.
So you're convinced that's the exact reason why.
I mean, they only won by a field goal, but.
Well, the Patriots better not lose this year, or else you know Will's gonna break loose.
Oh.
No, you know what though? Like, there's no like, I hate that. Like, I was watching Sports Talk in the Burg yesterday on RMU TV, and one of the anchors said that they were comparing this year. They were like, "Oh yeah, like the Patriots won in 2004, they'll win this year."
No.
That is about the weakest, flimsiest argument. The
Well, I
only player that's on both teams is
Tom Brady.
yeah.
I wasn't saying that. I was just
No, he was saying that I'm gonna go crazy if we beat the Patriots,
yeah.
which
He
is
or no. I was
true.
saying. You'll go crit like
Patriots are cheaters.
Yeah. If the Patriots win, then we're gonna hear a lot of
No,
that.
I mean, it. If something comes out down, like it took 3 years for Spygate. Spygate came out in 2007.
Yeah.
That's when it all came became uncovered, and so if it comes out in, you know, 2021 or 2020, whatever it is, whatever, I don't know what's the season year is considered, then I'll be mad. But, and I'll probably hate the Patriots forever because it's happened twice then. But, you know, if we lose, then we lose. But if we win, you can bet I am going crazy because
I'll tell you what, there was an
1960.
article I read on the Twitter social media app.
The Twitter.
And
Are you 85?
yes, I am.
I'm on
And
Facebook and the Twitter.
but
Send a tweet
uh,
out.
at Sam Ferentz, that's my Twitter handle for anyone who wants to follow me. But it was like, yeah, I think it was SportsCenter that had tweeted it out. It was an article, and it read that the refs' record through past Super Bowls said that they were going to call a lot of fouls, and I saw that, and I just kind of laughed, and said on I wanted to like quote it and say on who the Eagles or the Patriots. Yeah, because historically, Patriots don't get fouls called on them.
And the Eagles do.
So.
You always look at me like I'm supposed to laugh.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. I forget which crew it is, but there's one particular crew. I think it's Pete Morelli,
Yeah.
his crew. They looked at like the past, there's like 5 games that specifically his crew has reffed with Eagles games. They have called, it was something like 400 yards of penalties on the Eagles compared to all other teams combined were like 100 or less than 100.
Wow.
Wow. Like it is insanely biased in the way that like if you look at everything, it was like 21 fouls for 400 and some yards compared to, you know, 5 fouls for 100 yards for all 5 teams combined. Like it was a crazy. I don't know that, and that might be wrong. I don't know the exact statistic, but it was. I mean, I wasn't surprised because I hate that crew, and you know, every time that crew comes on, that we're going to get fouled a lot, and it's going to be a hard game,
Yeah.
which shouldn't. It's not how it should be.
Well, don't worry. His crew is not
It's James Territory's crew.
Yeah, with
the index card.
Jerry Bergman.
Oh gosh.
The index card. Oh boy.
This is gonna be.
James Territory's index card single-handedly kept the Cowboys season alive.
Before they killed it themselves.
So. Yeah, you know, you can only do so much.
I thought it was funny because, like, days after this happened, they were still talking about whether it should count if the card is, like, by itself or if it's folded in half or if you can fold it two times. Is that, because that increases
the thickness
of the card.
And then there was the question where they were like, you know, like, where is this a rule? And they were like, oh, it's an unwritten rule. And I was like, then it's not a rule.
Yeah, if it's unwritten, that means, guess what? It's not in the rule.
Now,
yeah,
can you explain to me what happened? Because I'm trying to find it.
So, basically, all right.
I forget what
they couldn't. It was Raiders Cowboys, all right. And
what week was this?
Week 15.
Okay, so.
And basically, like, they were measuring for the first down, but it was so close, they couldn't tell by like eyeballing it that whether it was a first down or not. So Gene Steratore, he's like, oh, look at me. Like, I got my index card right here. And he just takes it and he, like, drops it.
He folded it in half.
Yeah, he folded it in half and he tries to stick it between the pylon and the football because it went in between, yeah. And they gave the Cowboys the first down because it touched the football. So therefore,
yeah, it didn't go through.
Yeah, it touched the football. And they're like, oh, it's the first down. But then people are like, but, like, it was so thick. Like, that actually makes it. Like,
yeah, move it. It moved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are like, where's the justification there? Is, you know.
So then, like, for, like, 4 days, people talked about whether you have to do, like, single ply card or if you can fold it in half and use that and all this.
It was
stuff,
like a real controversy.
Which is stupid because it's an index card. And, of course, it's the Cowboys. But, you know, that's a.
But on a side note, the Raiders still blew that game because Derek Carr fumbled into the end zone with like 15 seconds left, and that would have been the field goal would have tied it. That's the worst part, and that ended the Raiders season. That was pretty sad. That whole Raiders season was sad. At Nico Fabrini, if you ever listen to these shows, the Raiders choked. Ha ha ha. The Raiders choked. Ha.
that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Of.
Yeah.
Why would you fold it in half?
Why would you use a card?
But, guys, this is the important thing. He's reffing the Super Bowl.
No worries.
Dude, what happens if he pulls up the index card in the Super Bowl? Like, you think there will be riots in the streets of Philadelphia
if
that costs Philly?
If it gives the Patriots, like, a first down, and they end up, like, scoring on the winning drive.
Gene Steratore is
going
to change his name.
Oh, yeah. He will not be welcomed in the city of Philly.
Wow.
People will find when he refs games in Philly, they will figure out which flight he's on and come and boo him. Like, that's how bad it's going to be. And, like, I love Philly, because I would totally do it, too.
You know, they would go out of their way to find him. Like, you know, people would be, like, leaking his address, like, his phone number, his email address. Like, Gene Steratore would not be safe.
However, I just read a BuzzFeed article, which was perfect. They called Rob Gronkowski, quote, a sentient LMFAO song.
He is, though. Oh, my gosh.
Like, it was so perfect.
Did you see his Snapchat?
No.
It was great. You know what? I'm going to pull it up because I can play it through here.
All right. I'll keep talking about this article. It
Beautiful.
Talked about how, you know, normally 9 times out of 10, people aren't going to like the city of Philadelphia. And 9 times out of 10, the city of Philadelphia is not going to like you back. But everyone can root for the same team for a day. And they went on to talk about how the Eagles are a very likable team. They're a very nice team. They are a fun team. Nick Foles is like the comeback captain of the year.
Nick Foles, I mean, I'm still going to stand by the fact that I really had no faith in him doing any, having any
really
sort of.
Anybody did. Like, I think that's why this is so great, because he's been the one that's most doubted.
I mean, it would be a great story. And, I mean, again, he looks like 2013 Nick Foles right now.
Well, like, the big thing that BuzzFeed looked at, because it's BuzzFeed, was like, oh, he gave this heartfelt speech about how his daughter can be proud of him again and can root for him and everything. They're like, if you can't get behind that, you can't get behind anything.
Also, think about this. He put 38 points on Minnesota, and the Patriots defense.
Number one defense.
Yeah, and the Patriots are significantly worse.
For those of you not in the room, I did air quotes to the number one.
Can confirm there were air quotes there.
Then they also, the article also talked about how Patriots are like America's anti-team. They said that rooting for the Patriots is like rooting for the top 1%.
I can't even get started.
They called Tom Brady a coward for always seeming to have a Make America Great Again hat in his locker, but never having the courage to come out and talk about it. And how Bill Belichick wrote a letter supporting Trump, how Robert Kraft donated $1 million to the inauguration event for Trump, and how they just don't talk about it,
yeah,
and all this stuff, and how, like, you know, the systematic cheating, and how, you know, they just don't enjoy it, and all this stuff. They're like, it's literally like the two opposite teams. Like, the Eagles have had the most fun.
All right, well, hey. Let's take a quick break,
because
I'm pretty sure Rob Gronkowski is having a great time. This is a Snapchat
now. Oh, yes.
Just one more time.
I think he's playing an LMFAO song in the background.
And he's wearing a like a black, one of those like fur like bomber hats, and he seems a little bit concussed still to me. But man, that guy has a great time. I know you said Tom Brady and Belichick and Kraft don't enjoy anymore. Rob Gronkowski's having the time of his life, man. I mean, he probably, at the end of this, man, he's going to have so many concussions. He's going to have a hard time remembering his football playing career. But all everyone's going to know is going to be like, man, you had a blast. Like, I would say that Rob Gronkowski is the definition of YOLO. Like, there's just, like, that little part in his brain that's like, yeah, let's do it. Boom. Let's go. And, but you know what? As much as I dislike the New England Patriots,
mm-hmm,
I love Rob Gronkowski. He's so fun. Like, if I could be one person in this world, it would be Rob Gronkowski first and Justin Timberlake second.
Can I read you this is the paragraph describing the New England Patriots.
Yes.
From the BuzzFeed article, it says, the New England Patriots are the only franchise that is regularly and credibly accused of systematic cheating. They are coached by a man who treats most conventions of simple humanity with contempt. Their star tight end, Rob Gronkowski, is a sentient LMFAO song who can't make it through an interview without giggling at the mention of the number 69. When he dreams, all he sees are commercials for new shows of Spike TV. On Spike TV.
But. It's breezy. Come on, you
can't.
He's
from New England. How?
What? He's from Buffalo, actually. So worse.
Yeah.
But it's Minnesota, all right. Leave him alone. He's just having a great time. He's just having a great time.
Freeze.
I know this is a very serious time for you. I'm having a great time.
Did you know that Lane Johnson was denied a reservation at a restaurant in Minneapolis because he plays for the Eagles?
That's so funny. Hey, man, they're bitter. I understand.
Torrey Smith commented on, like, quoted the tweet and said, tell them you're Tom Brady, and they'll be surprised when you show up.
You know, honestly, that's totally what I would do. That's 100%. That I'd be like, you know, you could probably be like, they'd be like, this doesn't sound like you, Tom. You'd be like, do you know what Tom Brady sounds like over the phone? You know, maybe we can do some prank calls on the show. We can call restaurants and get reservations as, like,
tell them you're Tom Brady.
I'll tell them I'm Le'Veon Bell. I don't know if they'll believe that one.
Did you know, I feel like you talked about how Minnesota fans are bitter, and I get that. But I feel like,
yeah, they're bitter because not only do they lose, but then they have to watch the team that dismantled you have their name painted in the back of your end zone.
Yeah, it's not like we beat them. It wasn't like it was a 24-21 game, and like,
yeah,
it was really tough and really hard and whatever.
They got burned.
They got blown out of the water,
which I did not expect.
Loved it. I loved every single, except for their first drive. I was a little scared, but after that, it was so much fun. So the fact that they showed up to boo the Eagles at their, like, the kickoff event, I think is a little more than bitter. But you know, somebody will find something about Philadelphia and make another comment about how the worst.
You know, you talk about that, but we still have the understanding that Cleveland threw a parade for going 0-16. So just always have that in the back of your head. Cleveland, you're always in my thoughts. RIP, Chief Wahoo.
Wait. We missed Hugh Jackson Day.
1031. Oh, man. Well, you know what? We'll celebrate preemptively. What's a way to celebrate Hugh Jackson Day?
Take an L.
All right.
I've taken many L's this week.
If you bombed the test, you did it in honor of Hugh Jackson yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. And for that, we thank you.
Yeah, so yesterday is Hugh Jackson Day, and August 8th is Dallas Cowboys Day. 8-8.
So that would mean July 9th is Jeff Fisher Day, 7-9.
I love this. We can keep it going.
Sam, you want to add in there at all? No? No. All right, we're going to move on. All right, so let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit more, because I feel like, you know, I really want to dig deep into the actual, like, Super Bowl. Because, you know, it just, to me, it feels like, and it gives me a vibe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, similar to kind of like the Giants-Patriots Super Bowls, in terms of, like, you have this quarterback that really during the regular season was not good. And I know the sample size for Nick Foles was small, but it was not a good sample size.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he gets into the playoffs, and everything clicks. You know, Nick Foles didn't have a great first playoff game against the Falcons, but it was good enough. It wasn't bad by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get that Minnesota game, and all of a sudden, you know, the animal comes out. And Nick Foles is like, hey, everyone, like, I'm a really good quarterback. Like, surprise. Like, bet you didn't see that coming. And to me, I feel like there's still a lot of people out there that are like, that was a one-time thing. Nick Foles is going to come out, be terrible. Tom Brady's going to come out, be Tom Brady. And they're going to dismantle the Eagles. And even if the Eagles are ahead late because of that defense, Tom Brady's going to lead them down and come back. But to me, again, I feel like there's a lot of people underestimating Nick Foles. And
I think there are a lot of people overestimating the Patriots' defense.
And you also have to understand, I mean, I know that, like, Tom Brady looked great last week. But he was also really quiet through the first half of that play. I mean, the Jaguars effectively slowed him down. And then you got to the fourth quarter, and Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does, and he came back. But you got to understand that, like, a lot of this slow starts for Tom Brady is attributed to his age. I mean, you can see Tom Brady was playing a lot better at the beginning of the season than he has now. And he's playing well, don't get me wrong.
But he's also 40.
Yeah, and the games that have been closest for them to lose that weren't losses, you know, were the Pittsburgh game, where, again, Tom Brady didn't turn it on until the fourth quarter. The Jacksonville game, where Tom Brady didn't turn it on until the fourth quarter. You know, stuff like that. And if they played a good team that wasn't Tennessee, you're probably going to see something similar. So to everyone that thinks it's going to be a blowout, I really don't think so. And I really think that the Eagles have a good chance to win. I don't understand this whole concept of selling out the Philadelphia Eagles. It just doesn't make any sense to me, because they got here and they played in the NFC, which was arguably the better conference this year. I mean, they played two way tougher teams than the Patriots played in Tennessee and Jacksonville. And I know I'm not selling Jacksonville short, but
it's also Jacksonville.
And Blake Bortles was their quarterback. You know, there's a lot of holes there. So to me, I don't know if you can really think the Patriots are that dominant when they played
Fine.
In such a bad conference this year.
Let them think that. Give them the advantage. It's what we've had all year.
Man, how confident are you right now?
I'm not confident.
I really hope
I'm
the Patriots
excited.
Win just so we'll shut up about
no,
the Eagles
see,
for 10 seconds.
See, though, I can't believe that you would take what just Will's confidence over the New England. I mean, as a Steelers fan, all right, this is going to be a question right to you, Sam fans.
Okay.
How do you feel about the Patriots having the same amount of Super Bowls as the Pittsburgh Steelers? And the justification is the Patriots did it in a way better sample size there, because they did it all in one era. You know, they had the greatest era ever. You know, forget the four Super Bowl Pittsburgh Steelers, Joe Montana's 49ers. This is the Tom Brady New England Patriots, the greatest era ever. Because has anyone won five Super Bowls, six Super Bowls? No. So how does that make you feel? Would you rather have that than the Philadelphia Eagles, who I know the city of Pittsburgh and the city of Philadelphia are not fond of each other, but they're getting one. They're going to celebrate this, and then maybe, you know, right off into the sunset, you never know if you're going to win one again. They probably will go back, because Carson Wentz is amazing, but, like, they're still a long way from six. Whereas this, realistically, could be the last Super Bowl that Tom Brady's in. Realistically, most likely will be the last Super Bowl we see Tom Brady in.
I'm not.
Let the Jedi vanquish the Empire.
I'm not really that butthurt about the Patriots, because I know our. I'm not gonna lie to you. Tom Brady is a phenomenal quarterback. Bill Belichick.
He's probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Phenomenal coach.
He's probably
one
of the greatest coaches of all time.
Way better than anything the Steelers have had. But I think that, I mean,
Hey, Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer, okay? Don't let anyone tell you different, all right?
I mean, I think the Steelers' history speaks for itself. I don't care if, you know, the Patriots had, you know, a 6 Super Bowl era. The Steelers have had like three time frames where they were good. I mean, I think our history speaks better for itself than we're always going to be around. I don't think we've had conversations who made the team, Belichick or Brady. And I mean, I don't know, the Patriots haven't been as dominant in their previous history, and I don't know if they'll continue to be dominant. So that's why I'm not really too worried.
My biggest thing is, and the thing that pushes me towards saying like the Steelers' 6 Super Bowls are kind of more significant is that they weren't surrounded by controversy and scandal. Because you think about it, 01, what the Patriots won?
2002,
was it?
3 and 4.
2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
Right, because the Bucks won it in 01?
No, I'm sorry, it's 01, 02, or 03, 04, because 02
right.
was the Bucks.
Right, that's yeah. right. You have those three, which are surrounded by Spygate, so it's 3 out of the 5. And then you have one that was Deflategate. So you really have one Super Bowl that you kind of won without anybody saying, I wonder if you did something that was against the rules for these games. So in my mind, the Steelers winning 6 is a lot different from the Patriots winning 6 because I feel like the Steelers did it in a more football way. And the Patriots did it in a more of we want to win at no, like, no matter what we have to do way.
I mean, Tom Brady's just phenomenal. He's a freak, and he's a freak of nature.
Here's another question I have. All right. What are your thoughts on Doug Peterson as a coach after, I mean, you look at the way they run that offense, and it's significantly different than the way they ran it with Carson Wentz, and he changed it in a way that made Nick Foles, I mean, look legendary.
I'm before the season, I was like 50% sold on Doug Peterson. I'm probably close to 80 now, but there are still some plays that I've seen that have been called by him that you just kind of scratch your head at. And like, I have full confidence in him. I believe that he will be the coach here for a while if he gets this done on Sunday. But I definitely think he's grown as a head coach because I can see that he's learning and making better calls, but there are still some that you just kind of don't get, like, why are you passing the ball inside the 10 yard line when you have 3 very capable running backs? If not, you could argue 4. Why are you having your quarterback throw it and have to scramble inside the 10-yard line? Like, you could blame Carson Wentz getting hurt on Doug Peterson on that play call and those play calls. So that's the only thing that I'm not completely sold with. But I think if he gets it done Sunday, obviously he's going to be here for a long time because it's the same thing that happened with Charlie Manuel in 2008. They're going to be there for a while because they're the guys that got it done. So I think if he can come out next year and kind of eliminate his mistakes, I will be 100% sold on him.
Love it. From the Eagles fan himself, Will Camilleri here. So, all right. So we've talked about Nick Foles, his excellent performance, Doug Peterson as a coach, you know, Brady, Belichick, one of the greatest combos ever. So just builds up to it, guys. Who are your picks? Oh.
Let me ask both of you. I mean,
we got to keep this going. What
okay.
we got?
One person from each team, who's going to be the difference maker? Like, someone we haven't talked about, because I have someone in mind that I think is really going to blow through the Super Bowl again, and we haven't talked about it yet.
Who I think a difference maker is? I got 2 potential ones.
Okay.
Number one is Chris Long. Chris Long is, to me, one of the biggest acquisitions that the Eagles had this offseason, where he's a hustler, man. He's all over the field, and he can make a difference the entire game. And if he's on, man, and he played with the Patriots last year. He won that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He knows those guys. He knows that team. He's practiced against them. I think he's a guy that can make a big difference. Second guy is Malcolm Jenkins. Again, to me, the defense is the big part. If they can get to Tom Brady, they can get pressure. Malcolm Jenkins is a guy who can make a quick impact interception, really change that game. Turnovers are going to be the difference here. The Eagles can force the Patriots into turnovers, they will control this game.
Yeah, I agree. There's just so many guys, especially on the Eagles defense, that could make a play, could have that special impact. Like last, 2 weeks ago, it was Patrick Robinson, yes, who had that interception. He was the first one that scored to tie the game 7-7. So obviously, like, that kind of set the tide.
It changed the pace, changed the momentum, you know?
So I think if you can come out, I don't really know who it's going to be. I think really it's going to come down to the lines. I think the Eagles' defensive line against the Patriots' offensive line is going to be the biggest piece to this whole puzzle. Because if the defensive line comes out and can shut the offensive line down, then I think it's going to force Tom Brady to make faster decisions that, you know, when he has time and has space, he's more dangerous than when he has to step back up into the pocket and kind of make a call while also thinking about, is there a guy coming behind me? So I wouldn't say it's two players I have, but I say two positions, and I would say the offensive line and the defensive line.
Who's the Eagles' left tackle?
Vitae.
I think that matchup between him and James Harrison, no matter what you say, I mean, James Harrison's older than Tom Brady and is still playing at a very proficient level. And Robinson's replacement last week against the Jaguars was manhandled afterwards. So I think that matchup's going to be a big one to watch. And then I don't know what's going on with James White, but his postseason statistic record is impeccable. 7 touchdowns through 7 games. And I think he's a point that a lot of teams just don't pay attention to because he's not a regular season runner. Because
he's not Tom Brady.
Yeah. So, I mean, Will, if you have a line directly to Doug Peterson, tell him to watch out for James White. Because I think James White can once again be a difference maker in the big game.
All right, so on that note, okay, we talked about this now.
Do you want to transition to a little RMU?
Super Bowl picks? I want scores. I want Patriots, Eagles, this to this. So we're going to start with Will, because we know what Will's pick's going to be. But
Eagles, 34-21.
Sam?
Eagles, 24-10.
I can see the moral conflict inside.
no matter what I've said, Will, we're both from Pennsylvania. I don't know. I guess it's just that I don't like to see the Steelers lose. But, you know, it's Eagles 23-17.
Ooh. I just want to point out the most disrespectful score prediction I've seen was shocking from a Patriots sports.
Wait, was it WEI? I hope it was WEI.
I don't know. I saw the picture. They predicted the Patriots were going to win 45-10.
See. But that's also an insult on the defense, too.
Yes.
You know, like, I think there could be a total chance that the Eagles' offense does not show up, but I don't think there's a single chance that the Eagles' defense does not show up.
I'll tell you what. As I've hated Will's commentary about the Eagles...
All season.
It would be nice to see the Super Bowl stay in Pennsylvania, would it not?
It would.
Even if you were a Pittsburgh fan, it's nice to see it stay in Pennsylvania.
Yes, and you also get to see the downfall of the team that you absolutely despise. So that's also fun.
Real quick, NFL. I mean, can we get someone's thoughts here? What's going on the Redskins' mind? Did they trade or sign Alex Smith?
Both.
Both?
They traded for him and then gave him an extension.
And gave him a max contract, the one that Kirk Cousins wanted that Kirk Cousins didn't get?
Essentially, yeah. So he's 34 right now, I believe Alex Smith is.
Mm-hmm.
He had 1 year left on his deal with Kansas City. So he has that with the Redskins. Then they signed him to a 4-year extension.
So he's got 5 good years left, and he's spending.
He will be a Redskin until he's 39. And if you can tell me that Alex Smith will still be playing football when he's 39, I'm going to tell you you're wrong.
Well,
I think he could. Honestly, because look at his style of play. It's not big arm. It's not scramble and make plays. It's short passes consistent.
He's very much Tom Brady.
He's the and not even, you know, I'd argue Tom Brady's more of a big arm cannon kind of guy that's going to send the shot downfield. Alex Smith could be fine until he's 39. I really do. I do believe that. I believe that's his limit. But, I mean, if he keeps his same style of play, it makes sense.
I don't know simply because of the division he's moving into.
I mean, it's a bad time to get into that division. You're an old quarterback in a division with Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott who are probably going to be
even, back. I'm not talking about, like, quarterback comparisons. I'm talking about defenses. Because the Eagles had the number one defense in the NFL for a long time. Cowboys' defense is always good.
But Alex Smith is a good quarterback, you know, and he's got that. I mean, the name of his game is accuracy. You know, he's not going to send those 50-50 balls to beat you deep. He's going to get those short plays that are going to keep the ball moving.
The biggest question mark I have for the Redskins is why him? Because if you compare the two guys, you are bringing in a Kirk Cousins with a different face.
Maybe
a cheaper Kirk Cousins,
though,
too. Because Kirk Cousins is about to become the highest paid quarterback in football, which I think is ridiculous.
Really?
Yes. It's the Kirk, because the quarterback market's thin.
That's
so
true.
People are going to make Kirk Cousins a lot of money. So that the Redskins did the right thing. They locked him down. And look, you got him for what? How long? 5 years?
5 years.
So that gives you 5 years to go out and find your future quarterback. That gives you 5 years to go out, draft someone, find someone better, because Kirk Cousins was not the quarterback of the future.
No.
I wouldn't invest money to make Kirk Cousins my franchise quarterback.
No.
Kirk Cousins was good, but Kirk Cousins, again, it's that intangible thing that Carson Wentz has, that Tom Brady has, that Ben Roethlisberger has, to make those plays. And when it came down to crunch time, nobody ever looked at Kirk Cousins to make the play.
No.
And the Redskins need that guy, and right now they don't. And I like the move because it gives you a little bit more breathing room to go out and figure that out.
I don't know if I would have signed him to a 4-year extension. I think, so you have him for a year regardless, because that's what was left in his contract with Kansas City. I think you give him a 2-year deal on top of that, and you're fine. Because 5 years is a lot of time. And maybe what they do is they have two or three years with him, and then they draft somebody who sits back up, kind of like what the plan was with Carson Wentz initially. But I don't know. I just don't. I think it shows that the Redskins they're not going to change anytime soon.
Where's Kirk Cousins going from here then?
It looks like my bet would be either Buffalo or Denver.
I've heard Denver or the Jets. Because the Jets have a lot of cap space. They have something like $76 million.
They also need defense though.
Yeah, but in terms of like what's going to be the most important piece, quarterback.
You know who has more cap space than any of them?
The Cleveland Browns.
But is there any chance Kirk Cousins goes to the Cleveland Browns?
No.
Well, can you imagine a young hotshot? I mean, he's what, 24? 25, 26? He's like a younger quarterback.
Kirk, he's like 26.
So you got a young hotshot quarterback with a hot head who, if you tell him, hey, you come here, we'll pay you a max contract, you bring this city out of the ruins.
But he's not the guy to do it. He's really not. I don't believe he is. I mean, I think he's better than anything Cleveland's had before, including, you know, RG3. but to me, he lacks the intangible, and that's the big thing to me.
Hey, DeShone Kizer put up a pretty good, like for a Cleveland Brown rookie quarterback.
Pretty mediocre overall, though.
Oh, but bigger picture here. I mean,
I would
decent.
Sell out on him right away.
No, look at
you know last year's drafts. I mean, everyone thought you know Carson Wentz was okay. He was pretty good, but then everyone thought Goff was a bust. And look at this year, you know. So I really do think you got to give those guys time.
Yeah, I mean, for his first year, though, I mean.
And with really not a lot around him. You know, he'll come back next year, hopefully with Josh Gordon with him all year round, which is a huge, huge asset.
Who ended up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year? Or did they not release
this? I don't think they've done that yet.
Yeah,
it's technically the season's still going.
Okay.
So we have 2 minutes left. We haven't talked about RMU at all.
So I think we got to talk about the one team that, again.
There are three teams I would like to talk about quick.
All right, well, the first one I want to talk about is women's basketball because they cracked the mid-major top 25 for the first time since 2011, the second time ever. The bracketology got updated today, and they're still at 15 seed, which is still not a bad place. They haven't moved. Big matchup versus St. Francis this weekend. If they win it, they've really set themselves up to basically, one, clinch first seed. They'll have very little trouble clinching the first seed in the conference if they beat St. Francis again. But also probably going undefeated in conference because the third place team is 5-4 right now. The conference is pretty weak this year.
I wouldn't take it lightly though. I mean, any given day, right?
Yeah, that's true. So then, men's basketball played Wagner this past weekend. I thought it was very disappointing. First half looked great. They had a 10-point lead at the half. They lost that 10-point lead in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
My sport coaching teacher is savage because Maddie McConnell's in my class.
Well, Maddie McConnell's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the few consistently good players.
My teacher's like he started the class by saying 6-29. What happened, guys? Like he doesn't care about who's in the class or their feelings or anything. It just comes out.
Well, like honestly, what happened?
Who's the professor, by the way?
Brangle.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It was extremely disappointing because the first half they looked so good and then they came out in the second half and kind of just faltered and couldn't get back.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like the team chemistry was clicking. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't seem like, I don't know, something was off. You could tell. I don't know.
And finally, last team we want to discuss.
Softball starts next weekend.
That's what you wanted to discuss. That is not what I pictured.
I was surprised because it's February 10th and they're starting their season.
Yeah, they go to like Myrtle Beach and stuff, and they do that.
That's true. They have tournaments the first few weekends, but you know it's the closest thing to baseball besides the club baseball team on our campus. So I figured, you know,
they're gonna have a big year this year. Last year was a struggle. Their pitching was not good. So I gotta give them a lot of faith. Hopefully this year we're gonna.
Is softball going to be Sam Anthony's spring sport?
No. I'm ride or die women's basketball. So
that's true.
Speaking of which, you should tune in tomorrow, 3 p.m. You're going to see me and Will live on the radio, Around the Rim, Episode 3. We're going to talk about the big weekend coming up for women's basketball. So you're definitely going to want to be there.
Do you need a guest?
Sam, you should definitely come if you want. We definitely love it. We have an extra mic for you.
Is that Friday?
Only if you bring your mom.
See what I can do.
All right, cool. All right, well, on that note, we've run out of time. A lot of Super Bowl talk today, but I thought it was pretty good. I thought we had a productive day, guys.
We missed the most important part of the Super Bowl. Justin Timberlake. Oh, is it Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake singing halftime.
Bring Janet back. Bring Janet back.
Pink is singing the national anthem, which is funny because she went to a suburban Philadelphia high school.
I mean, it's star-studded.
Love it.
I'm looking forward. Like, I everything everyone's looking forward to this. Super Bowl commercials. Last year, they weren't that good. Let's see if we can pick it up.
Amazon commercials hype.
Oh, boy.
Alexa loses her voice. Stay tuned for what happens.
Hey, spoiler alert, man.
All right. On that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off.
This is Sam Ferentz, Actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
I love you too, Mrs. Ferentz.
Oh, gosh. Why do you got to do this
You're
to
so
me?
Beautiful.
This is Will Campbell signing off. Go Birds. Happy Super Bowl.
Go Sunday.
Go Sports.
That works.
Was that the end? Because that was really, I wanted to dance for a little bit.
That was the end of the clip.